Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for the Super Bowl is Jay Cornegay, EVP of Sportsbook, Sports Operations. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Jay, great to have you back on the show.
Good to see you, Rob.
So, first off, we're recording this on Wednesday at 1:30 Eastern, and we can see the end of the road of the 2 weeks of the Super Bowl. And I'm curious, what is life like for you right now?
It's actually the calm before the storm. You know, we get really busy as the two teams are decided, and we work on propositions for about 3 or 4 days. And, you know, we have a great team out here that basically just cram into a room for about 2.5 days of just number crunching. And, you know, we feed them some drinks and some food in there. And, they crank out these numbers. And once we post them on the Thursday after the championship games, we have about, a day or two of activity where a lot of sharps are betting these numbers. You know, the public's getting first glance of these things, but then we go into a little bit of a lull. And right now we're just at the tail end of that as it's going to start picking up starting tomorrow.
Is there anything new or different this year about betting the Super Bowl?
I don't know if it's new. I mean, we always have some different propositions, that sort of thing. I think it's really interesting to see, you know, the interest in this game, because we weren't expecting these two teams. A lot of people were looking elsewhere, especially on the AFC side. But so far, the betting has been, I think, very typical of what we've seen in past Super Bowls. It's just starting to warm up. But the one thing I will say, there's a lot more support on the Bengals than I thought there were going to be. I really can't explain why there's almost over 70% of the tickets so far have been on the Bengals, and that has remained consistent since we posted that line.
Are those tickets with the spread or money line? Because I saw a stat where in each of the last 12 Super Bowls, all you had to do was pick the winner, that the spread didn't even come into play.
That's a very valid point, Rob. And we expected a lot of money on the Bengals, as usual, being the underdog on the money line. And that holds true as well, as 74% of the tickets right now are on the Bengals money line. But if you look at the point line, the spread, yeah, just over 70% of the tickets are on the Bengals there as well. And that's the surprising part. Now, you know, the next few days is really going to tell the story, but I'm really surprised that we have just over 70% of the tickets on the spread supporting Cincinnati.
Where's your biggest liability or liabilities heading into this game?
We have some liability attached to the Rams for winning it all. And we opened them at 20-1. They never got higher than 20-1, but we've taken some large bets over the season, or during the course of the season, on the Rams. They've kind of been the sexy wise guy pick all season long, as a lot of us knew that they were all in for the season. I mean, they're not a young team. They have signed some veterans and added some parts as they went along. So they're all in for the season. So I can understand that. The Bengals, we would normally have liability on a team like the Bengals because we opened at 100-1, got as high as 200-1 right before the season started. Normally, when a team has success at those type of long odds, you're going to have liability, but we didn't. We only had 17 tickets on them at 17-1, the largest being $200. And we're looking pretty good on the Bengals. So we have a little liability on the Rams winning it all on the future book. And I know we're going to talk about the props here in a second, but we have some liability on the Cincinnati kicker as well, McPherson.
So what's your best case and worst case heading into this Super Bowl?
Well, I think the worst case is a very exciting game. A lot of things going on. You know, we have about 500 propositions, and when people come and play them, and now in other jurisdictions, I'm pretty sure we're going to see very similar betting patterns in other states as we've seen in Nevada over the years. And people like to bet on things that happen. They bet on over, they want, you know, these long odds. They want to, you know, they want to pick six, they want a safety, you know, they'd love to see overtime. They'd love to see the game decided by exactly 3 points. Those type of propositions are the ones that really hurt us a bit. And because they're not typical plays that you would see during the course of the game, but when fans come in here, they want to see these things happen. And certainly that low risk, high reward scenario is very attractive to them.
Do you guys then adjust the payout accordingly? So let's say something, a pick six, like what is a pick six from the, what is that payout? And logic to me would say, because there's a large amount of people that would be like, all right, well, let's just run the numbers on this. There's a 13% chance of a pick six happening in this game. So now the expected probability would be X, Y, and Z. But if all of a sudden you come up and it's plus 500 versus plus 800, Joe Public's not going to know any difference in that.
Well, you know, they once they get going on these propositions, they start to get it, even, you know, the novice and maybe even those that might be placing their first bet ever on football. You know, I mean, like I said, I'm trying to find that, you know, what the odds are on that, but it's probably something like 4-1 or 5-1, somewhere right around there. But, you know, like I just looked it up because I wanted to tell you this, because I know this is so popular. That game decided by 3 points, exactly 3 points. And they're getting 4-1 odds there, plus 400, minus 500 on the no. And the ticket count currently on that particular proposition are 38 tickets to zero. Okay. So that's very typical. And that's what we're going to have in some of these other unusual, you know, type of propositions based off of unusual plays.
So, Jay, who then would be laying the minus 500s, or maybe not even that high, but if we start to get to the minus 200s or the minus 180s, there's a, obviously it seems like Joe Public, we're rooting for the over in yards and points and good things to happen. But on the flip side, it's why I would always want to lean towards the unders of these things not happening. But I'm not exactly running to the window to being like, hey, I just did a bet at minus 210.
Right. No, there's, it's interesting because you're looking at betting patterns for the Super Bowl. And when we first post them, we have all these sharp guys in line, you know, the who's who of prop betting and sharp guys. And some of them fly in town from other states and take shots at our first numbers. It's all dominated by sharp play. And then the public comes in, you know, during Super Bowl weekend, and just pounds the other side of some of these propositions. And we understand that. And we move these lines accordingly. We know that the sharps will take certain numbers. Okay. For example, the game decided by exactly 3 points. It's plus $4 on the yes. So the public are getting 4-1. The no is minus $5. Now, I know why that's so popular, because we've had so many close games, you know, during this postseason, including the last two, you know, conference championship games. So I get it. And I still think that we're going to see a tremendous amount of action on the yes. But we will fish a little bit with the sharp guys. You know, we can drop it down. If the liability gets a little too much for us, we'll drop it down. Will they buy it at minus 480? Will they buy it at minus 450? You know, we'll do that until we actually get some nibbles. And eventually we'll hit a price where it's attractive to some of the sharps, and they'll come in and lay $4, lay 450, and help us balance it out a little bit.
Are the sharps as sharp in Super Bowl prop betting as they would normally betting during the year? Because one of the challenges of the Super Bowl is we've got a game of one of one, and now we're betting on anything from pick sixes to the national anthem to Joe Burrow, pass yards, rush attempts, all of these different things. So there's more options out there, but it's not what we're typically used to. So I can't imagine every single week the sharps are playing a plethora amount of props because this amount doesn't exist normally.
Yeah, these are experienced players. They've been around for a long time and they know what the odds should be on certain, you know, plays or events that take place within the game. So they're very experienced and know what the number should be. And so if they see any perceived value on certain lines based off the heavy public money and the moves based off that heavy public money, they'll pounce on that. So to answer your question, Rob, yes, they're very sharp. We respect them a lot. These guys know exactly what they're doing, you know, and a lot of times they do very well during these Super Bowls because they get bargain prices if they know what they're doing, and a lot of them know what they're doing.
Oftentimes it is said that the late steam or the late movement is more likely the right side, but given the amount of public money that is coming in right now, what are your thoughts on people who see these lines? I mean, you can even look at something, Cam Akers rushing yards. I know he's a very polarizing running back this week because of, well, is he going to be starting or Sonny Michel, someone who's got a lot more experience? We can see a wide variety of things, and someone could see his total go from 62.5 yards down several yards. What are your thoughts on helping us understand, should we be following the steam, or is that almost irrelevant to things?
Well, following the steam is very tricky. You know, if you're too late on it, then you're not getting any, benefit or a good number. I mean, there's no value there. I mean, betting under 68.5 is totally different than betting under 62.5. And so you would have to follow that very, closely, because a lot of that happens at the beginning, you know, of posting these propositions. And the other thing I got to mention is when some of these guys are betting these propositions, you know, they might have already bet at another place. And so, like, for over under kickoff returns, you know, we had over under 5.5, and I guess somebody else had over under 3.5. So I'm sure that they were betting over 3.5 at the other operator's book and then under 5. Well, I know they were betting under us, but usually that's the case. I mean, you'll find discrepancies in passing yards or rushing yards, a lot of different propositions where someone might post Stafford over under 265 passing yards and someone else might post 285. But within a day, I guarantee you they're really, both of them are close to 275. So they're really sharp out there. Following the moves is very, very tricky. I'm not sure if you would follow the moves late unless you know that number. Let's say, again, let's go back to the game decided by exactly 3 points. And the opening number is minus $5, which is the true number. But if it got all the way down to, let's say, minus, you know, $4 or minus $3.50, and then you start seeing going back up, yeah, I guess you could follow something like that. If you have the time and the patience and the money to do that, you know, there could be some, bargain hunting in that area.
Do you have a favorite prop?
I really don't. I mean, I know that we call, will either team score 3 consecutive times without the other team scoring. We kind of call that the grandfather of all props, because that kind of opened the door to being, it opened our imaginations of what we could do. And it went over it was very popular over the years. It wasn't even ours. It was actually a friend of mine that came up with that proposition, because he said, if you look over the Super Bowls, have you noticed how many times a team will score 3 consecutive times? He goes, you guys should put up a proposition. You know, will either team score 3 consecutive times without the other team scoring? And so I'm always fond of that one, just because it opened the door for so many other propositions.
Yeah, I love that one. That is certainly fun. What is the squarest prop, or is there one where the public sees it and immediately we're like, ooh, I want some of that?
Well, it used to be the safety, Rob, you know, it's like safety or overtime, because they were getting odds. And we always knew that whenever there was going to be a safety, we were going to get, you know, take a hit. And, you know, these decisions on some of these propositions are like, you know, a healthy NFL game decision during the course of the regular season. They're healthy decisions because they get so much attention from the betting public that we have quite a bit riding on a lot of these different propositions. So I know that the simpler the prop, the better. People have to understand what it is. If it gets too complicated, they don't really touch it. I mean, I know a lot of people like to talk about the crossover propositions with other sports and, you know, other players that might be playing during the course of the Super Bowl weekend. But it's the propositions like players score the first touchdown. That's by far the most popular proposition. Almost everybody seems to have a ticket on that one. And it really accumulates a lot of attention. This year, it's been very interesting because the MVP is out there. And I don't know what's going on here, but Evan McPherson, okay, the kicker for the Bengals, has gotten so much attention from the bettors. He's the ticket leader. He has the most money on him. And most importantly, we opened him at 200-1 to win the MVP. Now he went down to 100. Now he's 80. And we still took a $1,000 bet on him just the other day at 80-1. So if he wins the MVP, you know, we have a good chance of losing on all the propositions.
Rooting for those field goal unders. You're like, come on.
Well, I mean, we're talking about it. I go, what's the scenario of him winning the MVP? I'm guessing 15-10, or he kicks 5 field goals or something like that. Maybe that's how he becomes the MVP.
Well, you think as you go, step one, it's an under game, certainly realistic. 2, turnover prone. So take both quarterbacks out of it, where maybe they throw one touchdown each, something like that. So if each team were to have one touchdown, the game's under 20 both ways. And then he has an Adam Vinatieri scenario where would it be possible for him to win it with 3 field goals, with the final one being a 50 yarder at the buzzer to win the game for the Bengals?
I don't know. I mean, going back to that Patriot Rams game, which they didn't score a touchdown until, I don't know, late third quarter, early fourth quarter or something like that. I think the Patriots won 13-7 and, you know, they kicked 2 field goals to win it or whatever. I mean, they weren't even considering the kicker for the NBA. I mean, Tom Brady won it, even though they only scored 1 touchdown. Right. I think it'd be very difficult. In fact, I don't even remember watching a Super Bowl ever. And even a championship game where they considered the kicker being the MVP. I think you would have to kick a number of field goals, including the game winner at the buzzer, to be even considered.
What impact will live betting have on the Super Bowl? And will that bring in a substantial amount of handle?
It will, probably not to the levels that as some might think, because it's such a party atmosphere. I mean, people are partying and they're having such a good time. You know, they're watching the commercials. They get caught up in these commercials because that's when most of the in betting takes place. It's gonna be a factor, but not as big as a lot of people might think.
All right, last question, Jay. Seeing the line, it's Rams -4.5, total 48.5. Do you expect either of those numbers to change much between now and Sunday, knowing that we're going to see a significant amount of public money between now and then?
Yeah, going back to this public money, you know, this is the one event that public money really controls the moves. There's just so much of it. The sharps are out there picking off numbers, as we discussed earlier. But the public money just overruns the sharp money. It's amazing. I think that some of the times the sharps will start playing some of these numbers that get out, you know, off note here, meaning that they do see perceived value, and they get enough of what they need, and the public money still continues to rush in. It looks like the betting trend right now, it looks like it's dropping down a little bit as the numbers come in on the Bengals, whether it's on the money line or the point line. I'm sure it's probably going to drop down to four here soon. I would expect the total to go back up, but I don't think it'll get back up to 50. I think it might go 49, 49 and a half when it's all said and done. So my prediction for a closing line would probably be four and like 49.
Well, as we end this, I'm going to give a few of the bets that I've made already. No points in the first 6 minutes. I saw it minus 125. I'm on the under in the first half at 23 and a half, under 9.5 in the first quarter. The Rams with the first timeout, there will be a 2-point conversion. I'm on the under on Cam Akers rushing yards, as I do believe there's more certainty in Sonny Michel. And then I'm actually going to be looking at the secondary receivers, overs on both T. Higgins and Odell Beckham on their receiving yards, as everyone's looking at Cup and Jamar Chase. So I always like to look at what else is not there. And of course, between now and Sunday, I'm going to have a lot more. Jay, is there anything that you want to add, whether it's a pick or any of the final thoughts?
Well, I want to know, did you bet the game itself?
No, because I'm going to be live betting this, because if the number at 4 or 4.5, it doesn't do anything for me, because we saw both teams get down double digits in the playoffs. We've seen time and time again, the number of these teams, we saw the Chiefs score in 13 seconds. It's like in the blink of an eye. And I remember looking at the Chiefs Bengals, and I even tweeted out that the Bengals are plus 16.5. And the reason I didn't like the 7.5 is I saw the opportunity where the Bengals were going to get down, and that wasn't going to be the best of the number. And I love the live betting market. So for me, I would rather see some plays first and play the live betting market. Hey, does one team get down 10 points? Boom. I want to jump on that side.
Yeah, that's very smart. A lot of people probably don't think that way, because our history tells us that a typical player for the Super Bowl will make one wager on the game itself, but then have 6 or 7 proposition bets. And that's why here at the Superbook, about 70, almost 70% of all the tickets and money are actually on the proposition. So the propositions outplay the game itself. Very smart on your part.
Well, thank you very much, Jay. I do the best to be as smart as I can as a square. So Jay, really enjoy jamming with you. Where can everybody connect?
They can connect with me on Twitter, Rob, at Jay Cornegay.
And I want to hear from you. We got a plethora of options of ways you can engage. What are you on already? What props are you playing? What is the squarest prop that you're playing? Do you have a best bet? You can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money.
The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.